Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Philippians chapter 4, would you turn over there? Philippians in chapter 4. I had one of those sleep tests given to me this last week. It was on Tuesday night, last Sunday morning. Knew it was scheduled. I think I passed, I don't know. But I mean, I knew it was scheduled. And Sunday morning, Debbie went to wake me up, and I thought I'd have a little bit of fun. And I was feeling, especially tired. She said, hey, time to get up. It's Sunday morning, time to get up. And I kept my eyes closed, and I said to her, I can't get up right now. I'm studying for my sleep test. And there are a lot of people in life that they're sleeping and their whole life is passing by them. That they think they're experiencing life when they really aren't. All the toys in the world, not going to bring you any kind of satisfaction. Nothing. All the wealth of the world, not going to get it done. This morning I'm going to preach a message How to Have It All. It's a title that I have used before. Philippians in chapter 4 kind of lays it out for us, and it isn't what you may think it is. I hear the lotto has a great big effort right now. There's all kinds of money out there that's yours to be won if you just gamble a little bit and buy a $2 ticket or whatever it is. And I think I heard yesterday $550 million after taxes if you were to win that. I want you to understand something this morning. That is not how to have it all. If you go chasing rainbows, you'll waste your life away. You'll come to the end of your life and you say, man, I wasted it. All the effort and all the ability that God has enabled us to have, and we waste it away. We live in a fallen world. We are a broken people. But we have a living Savior. And that's what Philippians in chapter 4 is about. If we could kind of get to that right now. Philippians in chapter 4, I want to help you. This passage is for you. This passage is for your family. Dad, if you would listen. Mom, if you would listen. This passage is for your business. This passage is for your church. It's for your world. The people you rub shoulders with. If you will just get things right in your own heart and in your own life and your own priorities and your own love for God, if you just do these things, everything else is going to be affected. You're worried about your son, you're worried about your daughter, and they're maybe looking the wrong directions right now. Man, you just get things right here, right where I'm at right now this morning, right where you're seated, get your heart right with God, ripple effect, it'll take over. You really get right with God, everybody's going to see it. You really sell out to God, you really will impact the people that you love the most. This is for you this morning. Great message of hope. Chapter 4, verse 1. How to have it all. Again, not what you think you want, but what God wants for you. Not what you think you need, how to have it all, but what's going to be best for you. What God will give you. Verse 1, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, writing to Christians, very obviously, right? Paul here is writing actually from a prison cell. Paul here is writing to the believers here in Philippi, and he's trying to encourage them. He says, my brethren, dearly beloved, and long for my joy and crown. What a love there is for God's family. And that's the way it ought to be. So stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Yodius and beseech Syntyche, and that they be of the same mind of the Lord in the Lord. Now, we're not given any of the background here. really what's going on, but everybody agrees these are two ladies. They're at odds with one another in the church at Philippi. And they're really hurting the ministry of the church at Philippi because for whatever reason, they're at odds one with another. He says, be of the same mind in the Lord. You worship the same God. I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Now, that's just introduction for what I want to preach this morning. What I'm going to preach is pretty much the rest of this chapter, most of it, not all the way to the end. But what he says in verses 1 through 3 is real simple. Number one, get together. Get together. We're one in Christ. Those two ladies that are fighting, get together. You serve the same God. You are indwelt by the same Holy Spirit. Don't live that self like we talked about in Sunday school, that selfie lifestyle. Get together. Number two, he says in those first few verses, God will see you through. God will help you in every situation of life if you'll just follow him. Every problem you have is already fixed in the person of Jesus Christ. Every mountain you have to climb has already been conquered in the person of Jesus Christ. Wouldn't it be a smart thing just to trust him? Wouldn't it be a smart thing just to follow him, obey the book, and go his way instead of your own way? You want to live a life when you get to the end. And listen, if you live a life for God, there will be no regrets. I promise you, if you get to be an old man, if you right now decide to live for God, you won't have any regrets. But if you just run off and follow after the world, you can spend all your money, you can hoard all your wealth, you can buy all the toys, you can spend all your time running to this event and running to that event and running to that event and running to this event over here, and you're going to waste your whole life away. Please, if somehow that could be communicated, a life invested in God is never a washout. Never. Let's go right to verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation, your balance be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Here is how to have it all. Number one, you need to, and I need to, praise our God in heaven. Praise, lift your voice in the great choir of this world that belongs to God. Lift your voice in exalting the Son of God. No matter where you are, no matter who you're with, no matter what the event, no matter what the circumstances. I'm not saying be an idiot, but I'm saying you are the one that is there to lift your voice on behalf of Jesus Christ. I owe him everything I have. You owe him everything good in your life. And if you are so selfish and so in, you know, withdrawn within yourself, you're so short-sighted that you can't lift your, you can't, with courage, with a little bit of background, little bit of backbone, lift your voice for the cause of Christ, you're going to miss it. Right away, Paul says, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Let your moderation be known to all men. They ought to know who you are and what you are and why you believe, why you put your trust in the Savior that you serve. Number one, praise God. 15 times in the New Testament, we are commanded to praise God. You can praise God in all kinds of ways. It's more than just the two words, praise God. You can testify. You can point people to the cross. You can tell people in your own words how good God is. You can sing. You can whistle. You can somehow bring conversations to Christ. It doesn't always have to be about you or yours. Man, you can exalt Jesus Christ. Hey, there's a good gauge. You spend more time exalting yourself or the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you who's the one that saved you if you're born again. His name is Jesus. We need to rejoice so that all men will hear that rejoicing. Man, there's a lot in the book of Philippians, but because I have 5 points, I'm not going to spend any time here. Listen, the wicked can't praise God. The carnal won't praise God. The careless don't praise God. So who's left? It's that Christian that's following God. You see, and some people, I say this to your shame and my shame. We can go hours sometimes without thinking about Jesus. Some can go days and never mention his name in praise. Maybe mention his name other ways, but not exalting Christ. I tell you again, the wicked aren't going to do it. The carnal won't do it. The careless don't do it. Paul here says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. So the first thing you want to do and I want to do, if we're going to have it all, this is all going to somewhere in verse 19. But in order to have it all, I've got to start praising him. Verse 6, in order to have it all, I've got to start praying the way I ought. And before I read verses 6 and 7, I'll tell you something. We are not a praying people, not like we ought to. We have prayer meeting at Fundamental Baptist Church. I trust you have a prayer closet. I hope you do a whole lot more praying than at a dinner table. But we are not the praying people we ought to be. And without prayer, there's no power. Without prayer, there is no ministry. I want to encourage you, those that aren't involved in other ministries, and if you are involved in other ministries on Wednesday night right here in the church grounds, when King's Kids is done and other things are done, nothing happens without prayer meeting. Nothing. It's just going to be a lot of activity without the core here praying every Wednesday night. Look at verse 6. Be careful for nothing. We're not to be anxious. We're not to be worrying. Worrying is a sin. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, there that is again, let your requests, your needs be made known unto God. That comes through prayer and supplication. That comes with asking of God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, it surpasses everything I know, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. And that leads into the third point. But the first thing we ought to be doing is praising God. The second thing we ought to be doing is praying to God. And that kind of prayer, real prayer, gets results. And if you're not a praying person, you're a worrying person. If you're not a praying person, you're a person that's carrying all kinds of burdens you're not designed to carry. If you're not bringing your requests and asking of God for the things that are needful in your life, you're just kind of bouncing through life and you're carrying all kinds of burdens you are not designed to carry. The Apostle Paul here says to the church of Philippi, you can have it all. Man, you can have it all. First thing you got to do is start praising God. First thing you got to do is just got to make a part of your lifestyle where you spend the days of your life, the hours of your days, lifting the name of Jesus. Somehow, some way. It can be in the smallest of ways. Josh, remember when you got to high school football? Actually, it was junior high football. You started scoring some touchdowns, started being like your dad at that point, you know, and you started, and you asked me about it because somebody made fun of him one time. Maybe it was a referee said something to him. About just bowing real quick, not a show, just bowing real quick in the end zone. God, thank you, you did that, and up off your knees, on your knees just about that long. So it isn't a show, it isn't a look at me in the end zone kind of thing. That's a way of praising God. You find a way. You find a way to exalt him. Don't be ashamed of the Savior who gave everything he had for you on Mount Calvary. Don't be ashamed of that Savior who went to the grave and conquered the grave that you might have eternal life. He's washed away all your sin. You that are born again. The law was nailed to the tree. It's gone. It's buried. Don't be ashamed of that Savior, that victorious Savior who loves you so much. Be a praising person. Be a praying person. Be someone whose thoughts are fixed on God. Look at verse 8. I'll read verse 7 too. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, and whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, and whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Ponder. Meditate. Don't be scattered or distracted in your thought process. Fix your mind on Christ. Colossians 3:2, set your affection on things from above. Because Matthew 6:21, Jesus said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So fix, be settled. It tells us in 1 Peter in chapter 5 and verse 10 that we're to be settled. We're to be established. We're to be completely grounded in Jesus Christ. Think on those things. That's how you become a stable person. You don't want to become an insane person? Chase after everything. Man, just run after the world. You'll try to run in three different directions at one time. You'll mess up not only your own life, you'll mess up the life of your children. Get settled in Jesus Christ. Know what you believe. Set your affection on things from above. Look at verse 9. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. That's perform. Flesh out the gospel. Live a lifestyle that honors God. Let's look at a couple of parallel passages, and it won't take but a minute. Look, go back to chapter 1 and verse 27. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27. We'll just look at some verses here in the book of Philippians. Verse 27 says, only let your conversation, that's your manner of life, that's your lifestyle, places you go, people you hang out with, way that you talk, the way that you dress, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. He says, whether I'm present with you or absent, either way, you are the gospel on display. My life is to be a living testimony of who Jesus Christ is. Like it or not, in the world in which we live, you are the only Bible some people are going to read. And if you don't show them Jesus, you're preaching some kind of false, perverted message by the lifestyle that you live. We need to flesh out the gospel. We need to live it in such a way that people identify, hey, that's something different. That's a Christian. So that's what a Christian is like. I want what they have. But if you're blending right in and you're being that chameleon Christian, you aren't of any good to anybody. Remember in the old libraries, they still have libraries? In the old libraries, they used to have the little signs that said, silence is golden. Remember that? Sometimes silence is just plain yellow. That's the way a lot of Christians are. Never say a word for Jesus. Oh, Pastor, I'm just going to live a lifestyle that'll just bring them to Christ. Well, you got to verbalize it too. Lifestyle evangelism, what they used to call lifestyle evangelism, that's not enough. That's bait on the hook. Man, you gotta put the hook in the water. You gotta go after people. Tell them about Jesus. So be a person, be a man, be a woman of praise, a man of prayer, a woman of prayer. Be someone who ponders the things of God. You ought to meditate upon the things of God. You ought to be settled and know what you believe. And then we ought to be performing all of the time. Look at chapter 2 in the book of Philippians and verses 12 and 13. Chapter 2 and verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now also, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Paul, work it out. Greek word there. Bring it to the surface. In other words, it's there. He already he says that in verse 13. It's God that's inside you. Bring it to the surface so other people can see it. Live a life so other people will want what you have. Don't stand in the background at the great white throne judgment as people are cast into the lake of fire. And you did nothing to keep them from hell. God doesn't wipe away all tears till after that day if you read your Bible. There'll be tears on that day. You need to perform. Look at verse 11. Verse 11, Philippians again in chapter 4. God will provide. He always will. The provision is there. I'm going to end this with just a great big verse, all right? How to have it all. But God will provide for you. But I want to preface that by saying this. Bounty doesn't always mean favor with God. And at the same time, poverty doesn't always mean disfavor with God. I'm not talking about money here this morning. Sometimes this man's path in life is different, always is different than one another, is maybe a path of not as much material wealth as this man's path in life, but they're still following the same Savior. They're obedient to God. So don't measure a man's life by the things that he possesses. That's what Jesus said. That's not how it works. There's something far greater and far deeper. Verse 11 says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am. He's in prison. I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. He said, I've experienced both. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. You know what he says in verse 11 and 12? It's a process, and he says, I'm still learning it. The great apostle Paul said, I'm still learning it. Leave it all with Jesus. Just obey him. And leave the outcome, leave all of the peripheral things, leave that in the hands of God. Just leave it with him. Paul says, I am learning to be content. And then he says that all famous verse, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. God, I'm empowered by God. God empowers me to be content. God empowers me to just accept what it is God has for me. Knowing this, here's the greatest part about this, knowing this, God being God knows exactly what Tim Rader needs in order to have joy and peace and meekness and long-suffering. And Tim Rader doesn't need what Bill Lockhart needs. God knows what Bill Lockhart needs. And he don't need what Tim Rader needs. And if we would just learn contentment, you surrender to God, and you've heard me say this before, learn to be led and fed by the hand of God. You can have it all. It gets better. Let's read on. Verse 14. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. They took a great love offering for the apostle Paul while he was in chains. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I first started in the ministry, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye once and again, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. In their poverty, they gave out of their poverty, and God blessed them. Verse 19 says, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. There's maturity. That goes far beyond things. The apostle Paul says, I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. And thank you for standing with me and meeting my needs, the church at Philippi, meeting my needs again and again. And not that I was wanting something, but the result was fruit. God knew what I needed. God used you. Provision, I was provided for by the hand of God. And the result was great fruit. Let's read on here. Verse 17 again. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that it may abound to your account. And here's what you got to know this. It's unsaid. It's right here between these verses. All the riches on this earth don't matter. It's the riches in heaven that matter. Could I understand that, God? Could you help your people to understand that? All the wealth in this world doesn't matter. It's the wealth in heaven that matters. Verse 18. But I have all. How to have it all? But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. Notice the amount isn't even mentioned, because that doesn't matter. Because it was what met the need. The things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable and well-pleasing to God. Here comes verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. It's a great life serving God. He meets our every need. Amen. Is it measured in dollars and cents? Oh, maybe sometimes it is, but that's not the gauge. It isn't always mentioned in good health, measured that way. It's not measured in tangible things sometimes. But Paul here says, I have it all. Verse 18. Listen to Paul. He's in jail. I have it all. I am full. God knows what I need, and he always gives it. Paul said, I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Now listen, don't live a life of regrets. I'm through right now. Don't live a life, you get to the end and do, I wish I would have, I wish I would have, I wish I would have. Don't do that. Surrender right now. I don't care how much life you've wasted. From now on, you can be surrendered to God. The story goes, it was 1929. In the Rose Bowl, Georgia Tech versus University of California. A player recovered a fumble. Some of you maybe have seen these old clips. A player picked up a fumble, he got turned around and ran in the wrong direction. And the crowd was cheering, and he thought they were cheering for him. And he was running as hard as he could. Finally, one of his teammates chased him down from behind and tackled him just before he got to the end zone. All of a sudden, everything went awry. He was ashamed. Oh, man, people were laughing. It was halftime, and he's in the locker room, and the towel was over his head, and he was in the corner of the locker room, and he was crying like a baby. His coach went over to him at the end of the halftime speech and adjustments. He said, I want the same player starting that started in the first half. He couldn't believe his ears. And the players left, and he stayed behind the locker room. Then the coach went over to him, put his hand on his shoulder, said, son, it's time for the second half. He said, coach, I can't go out there. Man, I shamed myself. I shamed the university. I shamed you, coach. I shamed my team. And the coach put his hand on his shoulder and said, son, you're not through yet. There's another half of football to be played. What a great coach. And I want you to hear this morning. From God the Father. Say, I've wasted so much of my life. Listen, you are not through yet. I don't know if we're in the last quarter, the last minute, or the last half. But you're not through. You're still here. You can go on and you can serve God because we worship the God of the second chance. We worship the God, if you repent of your sin, he'll use you again. Say, oh, I've done it over and over again. Why don't you surrender to Christ? Let God, you can have it all. Just get things right. You can have it all. And that's nothing you got to work up. I'm just telling you, repent of your sin and surrender. Just surrender. And you can have it all.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.